you know, if there's one thing that we'd all would like is a pay rise, and if there was one thing we'd like on top of that is an even bigger pay rise, with wage rises failing again to meet expectations, only hitting around 2% on an annual basis. And general thoughts are that that's not the best thing for the economy. Somebody that has some thoughts on that with us this morning, Dr. Stephen Kinsella from the University of Melbourne, research fellow there with the School of Government. Good morning, Stephen. A bigger pay rise, it would affect those that are getting a pay rise, but how does that generally strengthen our economy?
Well, it strengthens it in three main ways. The first way is people in large amounts of debt, when they get a bit of a wage increase, tend to pay off that debt a bit faster. So this is a phenomenon economists call deleveraging. Australia's households are some of the most indebted households in the world, particularly the middle and higher income households. The second way it would help is by giving a little boost to inflation. So we'd see the price level going up a little bit, not loads. The main benefit there is the value of your debt would stay the same, but the real repayment cost would go down. The third way it would really help things is in keeping consumption levels a little bit higher. We're starting to see retail sales slide off as people simply don't have the extra income to continue purchasing more and more, which impacts our growth. So those three areas are really why you'd like to see an increase, in, not just in the minimum wage, which increased 3.3% earlier on this year, but you'd like to see an increase in the wages for middle-income workers as well.
I think, Stephen, while all of those things are very practical, I think the first issue that you touched on there is that people would start paying down some of that debt, because the more debt you've got like a noose around your neck, the more crippling it is, and the less money you've got to spend out in the shops, out in the community, and out in the economy.
Indeed, but it's even slightly worse than that, because if you're really highly indebted, you're extremely fragile when it comes to interest rate increases or when it comes to any change in your domestic situation. So if interest rates are going to rise, they're not scheduled to rise till the first quarter of 2019 at the moment, but if interest rates were to rise, let's say by 0.5%, there's lots of people in the Australian economy that wouldn't be able to bear that because it would just massively increase the cost of their repayment every month. The other aspect is if there's any change, if your hours are cut at work, if you have a relative that's ill, or if someone has to stay home caring for a young or an elderly relative, all of a sudden, if a household can't absorb a shock like that, it's a real predictor of future problems in the future. And one of the big problems that we've certainly seen in the UK and Ireland and other economies is that when large numbers of financially fragile households get into trouble, that gets the banks into trouble. And when the banks get into trouble, pretty much everyone else is into trouble as well. So a wage increase is kind of a sticking plaster to help solve some of these problems, if not all of them.
So it becomes a vicious cycle there. So we all agree generally that higher wage increases are good for the economy, but what has actually been behind stalling those?
One of the really big reasons is that company profits are at an all-time high. When you look at the national accounts and you look at just private non-financial firms, they're making 20 and 30% more in profits than they made in 2008, which was the height of the boom before the boom turned to the bust. And so they've been making lots of profits, and the share of each year's economic output that goes to workers and that goes to capitalists or the people who own the stuff in the Australian society. In the 1960s, it was about 38% went to the owners of capital, and now it's well over 50%. So one of the big reasons that wages are stalling is because there's no coordinated mechanism to actually keep wages higher than they would otherwise be. Employers, despite the fact that employers have never made higher profits, they're not exactly throwing those profits back at workers. And ultimately, this selfish gesture is going to have deep macroeconomic impacts, because their workers' wages buy the stuff that they produce.
So the economic model of trickle-down, it's really a bit of a fallacy, isn't it? It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, not only does it not happen, it's never existed. It's a complete fiction. Designed in the 1980s by ideologues. The reality is that in an economy like Australia's, which is driven by resource intensive mining and agriculture, but it's also driven by savings from the rest of the world, coming in to buy up large parts of the economy. The situation is kind of a permanent bubble, but that's okay as long as the savings keep going and people keep wanting to buy the coal. I think it's really, really important that we understand that if the household sector is incredibly indebted, the only way it gets itself out of that is either by vast amounts of bankruptcies, which obviously nobody wants to see, or by increasing the disposable income of the households to pay down a bit of the debt. So my proposal is that we start thinking about wage coordination mechanisms that will actually do that. Employers are not going to hand out their profits for nothing to everybody for the banter. They're not going to do that. If they would have done it, then their profits wouldn't be as high already. There have to be better mechanisms for sharing out the profits. And one suggestion that I have is looking at the German model, where if the workers and the employers exceed certain targets, the employer is bound to pay a certain proportion of his or her profits to the wage earners. That keeps everybody on message, on form, and it also massively increases the likelihood that the company's objectives are going to be met. It also makes sure that the high-skilled employee never shirks. They never stop working. And German employees are some of the best in the world. They're also, by the way, when things go wrong, they're also very willing to take pay cuts and repress their wages, because they know in the long run it'll be better for them. And so these kind of mechanisms don't exist in the Australian economy, unfortunately, and old school collective bargaining has broken down. So there needs to be a conversation in Australia about what those mechanisms look like.
A few things for us to consider and some tough conversations to have in the future. Thanks for your time on that this morning, Stephen.
It's my pleasure.
Dr. Stephen Kinsella with some interesting thoughts. What do you think about some of those ideas coming out of Germany in terms of increased wage growth? Right here at 2NURFM 103.7.